This is Twit.
Wanna cry, or makes you wanna cry. So what do you get when you combine an extremely old and powerful, always on and present, networked remote code exploit requiring no user interaction with money-making, file-encrypting malware, the inherent vulnerability of social engineering phishing attacks, and then toss in a capable backdoor while you're at it? Well, it makes you want to cry. This, you know, global, potent and capable crypto malware payload, which leverages the NSA's leaked, ubiquitously present, and well-weaponized external blue Windows SMB vulnerability for propagation, is what we got. Now, there was a lot of disagreement about the name for this thing. The reason is it never formally declared its own name. I went with WannaCrypt, although I added a second N because it seems a little more grammatically correct. It's been called WCry, WannaCryptor, WannaCry, WannaDecryptor, etc. For me, what was definitive was the source code refers to itself in several places as WannaCry, and more importantly, the encrypted file header, that is the new header added to every file that it encrypts, the first 8 characters are WANACRY exclamation point. So WannaCry. I think that is probably the correct name for this. And people were a little confused because WannaDecryptor is the name that's also present, but that's, of course, the decrypting side, the part where you're no longer crying, except maybe over the Bitcoins that you just had to spend. But, you know, you're in the process, hopefully, of getting your files back. Although, you know, I watched the whoever it was, junior cyber somebody, come out before yesterday's press briefing with John Spicer. And what he said seemed to have about as much misfact as it did correct fact. So I don't know what to believe from what he said. He said that there had been no evidence of anyone decrypting their files after receiving payment. He's the only place I ever heard that said. So I would, you know, as I would always look for multiple sources of confirmation, I assume that people who pay get their files back. But his statement, which was the official U.S. position statement, threw that into question for me. So I don't know one way or the other. We do know that today there have been at least 5 identified variants, and I've seen infection estimates fall between 200,000 and 300,000. Yesterday, this same person said 300,000, and there is the site which was created by the attacker who created the inadvertent kill switch we'll talk about in a second. And I glanced at it this morning, and it was now above 300,000. I don't remember how far above, but it was north of 300,000. So assuming that he's doing IP, single counting and not multiply counting IPs, he had set up a web server at this bizarre domain, and the code in the WannaCry infection checks that site for a connection. If it obtains a connection, just anybody answering TCP, it then no longer proceeds. So that does allow him not only to neuter the infection, but simultaneously track a count of how many infections are present. Earlier, I read that it was only looking, it was performing a DNS lookup, and that he simply looked up the DN, that the malware performed a DNS query. If it got a resolution to DNS, it didn't infect. However, I subsequently saw the source code, and the source code actually performs a connection with an integral lookup as part of it. So you do have to have something there answering a TCP connection, not even a web server, just a hello, yes, here's a TCP handshake, and then this thing shuts down. So this is a worm by the classic definition of a worm, meaning something that is self-propagating with no user input, which itself from a single instance has the potential of taking over a large number of other systems, meaning that it is, the infection itself is also a scanner which successfully scans for other machines to infect. It requires so it meets the definition. When it installs itself, it looks at the local block of IPs where it is, and immediately scans the /24 subnet. That is the 256 IPs in its own network neighborhood for anything else. That is any other machines to infect. So it is a virulent intranet infector. And in fact, it is believed that's how things like the UK's NSS and NHS network and even FedEx here in the US and also the Telefonica telephone ISP in Spain got themselves massively infected was that somehow a single point of entry was obtained, and then these organizations had huge Windows infrastructures with, it should be noted, unupdated Windows machines, that is not since March, or maybe unupdatable Windows machines that we'll talk about in a second. There's still some question among the security community whether there was also a phishing campaign to get this into organizations. Spain's Telefonica believed that there was a PDF file containing a .hta, an HTML application exploit, that someone, you know, a phishing email clicked a link, and in this case, thanks to Eternal Blue, it didn't just compromise that person's machine, but it got in and then it went crazy within the intranet. So, you know, and this follows what we talked about when we were talking about Eternal Blue originally, was, you know, because it's a Windows SMB exploit, I rhetorically asked, how can this, a danger on the internet? Well, it turns out there are tens of thousands, as we later learned, tens of thousands of apparent SMB 445 ports exposed publicly. So, and all it takes is one. It takes one machine somewhere in an organization that has that exposed one way or the other for the other WannaCry worms to find it. Because not only when WannaCry sets up, does it start looking on its own intranet, it also launches 128 public internet scanning worms to scan all of the public internet. It uses the high-quality cryptographic entropy source built into Windows, if available. Otherwise, it falls back to a pseudo-random number generator that's still, you know, it's just picking IPs, 32 bits at random, and tries to make a port 445 connection. So that's what happened, was that once this thing started, it found all the other publicly available SMB ports on the internet. And with each one that it found, it infected it, and that one became a scanner in pure Code Red NIMDA MS Blast style, that, you know, the kinds of attacks on a global scale we haven't been talking about. We haven't, the world hasn't been subject to for years.